Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 95 of Star Wars and Scotch. I'm one of your hosts, Tim, aka Darkness429 on the internet. Also, joining me, on this side, Kevin, aka KevinXVision on Twitter, KMagic101 in a previous life, and we're Star Wars and Scotch. So thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out with us. Before we kick off, Kevin, before we go into anything else, I have to make sure that everyone is drinking their King's Coast coffee this morning. So if you don't have a delicious cup of King's Coast coffee with you right now, head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com. We're going to be celebrating our 5th anniversary very, very soon. Very, very soon, coming up in September. So head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com or head on over to our roastery on Long Island. So if you live in the greater Long Island area, somewhere in New York, maybe.
On.
Did I say in?
He knows. On. No, you got it right. I'm just reminding
them.
Oh, it's
like, I messed up. Okay, so yeah, if you live on the island or within the greater New York area, please make sure to head on over to King's Coast Coffee in Bohemia. Check them out. Go say hi to Lindsay, to Wayne. Those are the people you're going to see. You see them on TikTok. You see them on Instagram. Gabby's there. Mm-hmm. Lots of people.
Fran.
Lots of friendly people. You might see Fran if she's there when she's not trying to save the world. So
if you go and you see Fran, make sure you say hello to Aunt Fran, because that's what my kids call her, Aunt Fran. I don't know why. I think one of them said her name wrong and it just stuck. So Aunt Fran, you can go say hi.
I didn't know your kids were German.
Actually, my wife is part. Yeah. So it's weird because I'll tell that story another time.
Aunt Fran.
Really excited to announce that Rare Drop Roleplay is doing a 6-episode run in Middle Earth. We will be having an adventure in the second age of Middle Earth. Cast announcements are coming. I'm just so excited about this. It's going to be live during the run of Rings of Power. It's a 6-week run. I believe there's a break in between for a week or two because of TwitchCon and a few other things. But while Rings of Power is on Amazon, we will be doing a campaign. And all of the announcements are coming out very, very soon. Second Age of Middle Earth. I can't wait till you see who's going to be our Dungeon Master. That is the most exciting part of all of this. For this adventure and our cast, obviously, as well. So make sure that you stop by and make sure you're following Rare Drop Roleplay as well on Twitter and Rare Drop across the board. We announced it on Facebook, Twitter, everywhere, and the reception so far has been super, super
fantastic.
Excited. Yeah. I am excited. Tim! Not a ton of Star Wars stuff, but man, the stuff that we do have is meaty as hell,
juicy, dude.
I say we go straight for the jugular. You want to go straight for the jugular right off the bat?
I don't know. I think we should save it.
All right, we'll save it for the end.
Let's
save it for the middle. Or maybe we'll do it at the end. You might just have to listen and wait, person. first things first, more details on Andor. Obviously, we talked about last week Andor being delayed, but the first 3 episodes will be out the day Andor releases in September.
Wait, 3? I thought it was 2.
3.
Oh, that's right. No, we did talk about that. That's right, because it's going to be like essentially a movie.
Rings of Power is 2. They're releasing 2 on the first day.
Is Ring of Power, is it clocked in about an hour a piece?
I don't know if they release run times on that yet.
So essentially we're getting a Lord of the Ring movie as well. This is going to be awesome. I'm so excited. Yeah.
And then we have, like we've been saying, we have House of the Dragon comes out on Sunday. So like, if you are a nerd, this might be the best 2-3 months of television ever.
Yeah.
But But what we've been speculating about so much with Andor, we've used the James Bond example, we've used the Mission Impossible example,
yeah.
And director Tony Gilroy says that Andor shares the same aesthetic as the Jason Bourne films. So we hit the nail on the head. Not the right espionage spy situation.
Yeah, but we were very close. But man, yes. Jason, I love the Bourne Identity movies. They're so good.
I love the memes where they're like, oh my God, it's Jason Bourne. And then it's like some dude falling off something from doing parkour or something. So director Tony Gilroy opens up on stylistic choices and says, I had been trying to get people to make an acoustic action movie because action movies had gotten so bombastic in the 80s. They were just enormous. Mm-hmm. You're talking about, you know, the 80s has Die Hard and movies like that. Yeah. So when Bourne came along, we went way down to nothing. It was about making it real, keeping someone you really understand and really care about in a place that you understand the geography of, which is important in Star Wars, with stakes is much more involved than a guy on a train with 15 machine guns and a helicopter coming down. That aesthetic, that's John Wick, but they do it right. Yeah. That idea does carry over to Andor because we are on the ground with these people so that everything that we do has an intimacy and an acoustic nature to it within the grandeur of Star Wars. I mean, I was already sold. You're just dragging me deeper into the hole with a comment like that. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be exactly what we thought it was going to be. It's going to be shot in that same lens as Rogue One, right? Rogue One was mm-hmm. very much of that same style. It was boots in the ground. It was dark. You really got to feel emotions that aren't really showcased very well in Star Wars. You know, that the dark, you know, like the despair, the depression that the Empire, you know, put on, you know, all these people in the Outer Rim areas. So I think that's definitely going to be showcased a bunch. You know, I love that they're going for this like Jason Bourne kind of vibe. You know, again, that's exactly the idea that we were kind of hoping for when it mm-hmm. came to how this movie was shot. But now kind of I've watched all those Jason Bourne movies. Fantastic. So kind of like understanding the pacing of what to expect to a certain degree, you know, it's like that has me even more excited because those Bourne Identity movies are just, they're great. They have a yeah. really good pacing to it. And it's always a fun watch. So I'm sold. I'm like you said, like I was already sold and I'm even more excited now. And knowing that we get two seasons of this with 12 episodes apiece, like we're going to get 24 episodes of secret agents, espionage, yeah. Star Wars. Like, that's dope. That is a really cool part of Star Wars that doesn't get showcased enough. And now we've got two seasons worth of it. So I'm excited to see how they set the, like, because going back to how they filmed this episode, it's raw. You know, they didn't use the volume. They used all practical sets. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, they probably used a lot of practical effects. You know, so like the explosions are going to be real, you know, again, a lot of Rogue One style, what's the word I'm looking for? Filmography? Cinematography. There we go. You know, the same type of cinematography where it was just all practical. And I really appreciate that because it kind of leans more into the original Star Wars feel as well. Star Wars was all about practical effects, puppets, etc. And then we got away from that, and now we're getting back into it. And I really, really like that he was very adamant about making sure that they didn't do it in the volume, because a lot of the Star Wars shows that we've watched lately have been on the volume. But I think it's because the style that they're going for is very, very different than what they're trying to accomplish here. It's not going to be the big set pieces. It's going to be very like narrow shots. It's going to be really dark and in your face. So, you know, the volume wouldn't really add anything to it. I mean, it might give you like a cool backdrop, but If you have the budget to do practical, I think that always makes it more timeless and it sells the story a lot more than just throwing a bunch of CGI at it.
It also speaks to locations. Like if you're out in the woods, there's not a ton of reasons to do, you know, use the volume. If you're on a planet like Felucia, yeah, you might want to use the volume.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, because like all of that is like asinine, like massive mushrooms and big, mm-hmm. like weird plants and whatnot, but yeah, it depends on where they are, and yeah. for Jeddah, it worked out really, really well.
Jeddah, which yeah, was, I think we go to Jeddah in this show if the clips in the trailer are correct.
I don't know.
That one guy from Rogue One seems to be standing on a planet that looks a lot like Jedi. I forget his name. The guy with the mask.
Oh.
Who works for Saw Gerrera.
Yeah. I can't think of his name, but maybe, potentially. I mean, I don't.
But you could do Jedi in a desert on location shot. It wouldn't, like.
For sure.
But if you wanted the city, you know, you might want to. I don't know.
I would love to see the Jedi temple that's there. Just
right there. Oh, see. Before? Yeah. Yeah.
Before they blow it up into smithereens.
It'd be very interesting. One thing, real quick, I've never showed this off, actually. If you're a fan of Rare Drop Sports, this is the modded Xbox we use to make NCAA college football revamped. If you'll notice, it is a R2-D2 modded Xbox. And when you turn it on, it gives me a little...
That's fantastic. I love that it's all unplugged, too.
Well, it wasn't working yesterday, so I'm trying to fix it.
I was trying to figure out how you were making that work. It's like, look what we use for our productions, unplugged.
It's wireless. but getting back to Andor, I think that taking that spy aesthetic, I have a feeling that this will mimic what Rogue One did, which it'll be one of the best Disney Plus shows because Mandalorian did it too. The less you put a Force user at the center or a familiar character at the center, it seems to be more well received.
Yeah.
But on the same token, people were gaga over Obi-Wan, and it felt almost like we got closure at the end of Obi-Wan.
Because Obi-Wan wasn't a Force user until the very end. He was a broken guy who was scared most of the time until, like, right up until the end. So I think that's why people were able to connect with him more. They were able to feel it. He's also one of the, like, he's Daddy Kenobi, dude. I mean, like, he's one of the most beloved characters thanks to Clone Wars. But also, it's just, I think the way that they represented Obi-Wan, people were able to connect. And I think that's why people connected so well with Rogue One, too, because, yeah, like you said, it wasn't a force-wielding superhero. It was just normal people. And that's what Star Wars needs to lean into more, is just normal people stories within this universe.
Speaking of Daddy Kenobi, I am loving all the TikToks of all of the people that are like, why did Padme choose Anakin when Daddy Kenobi was there the entire time? And they're showing all these like sexy shots of Obi-Wan and stuff.
He had the Duchess though. That's why.
That is true. That is true. I really thought we would get a flashback of Satine in the show when they told us to watch the older episodes, but
they just really wanted you to know how broken and messed up he was. He went through a lot.
Because when you go to the other content, you really get to learn that he's in the main content, he's this pious guy, and you know, he just kind of does his thing. And then you go to the other side, like, oh, he's experienced a lot of bullshit too. Okay, he's just like me.
Cover that in Brotherhood too.
Yeah. I'm on Thrawn, and then now I'm going back and doing Lord of the Rings stuff because
I just started Shadows of the Sith, and oh my god, it's so good. The first two chapters are so awesome. I'm like chapter three. I literally started it on the cardio machine yesterday.
Where did you leave off? I want to track your journey on this.
Ray's parents just ran into the new Republic.
Okay, and they met the officers.
So like they were getting chased by pirates, and the X-Wings come and save the day.
Okay.
And so I'm just like, oh, this is really interesting. Also, is his name not, what's his name? What's the dad's name? It's not David. I keep on hearing.
Oh my God. What is his name? I know it. Ray's dad. What the hell is his name?
I kept on hearing it. And I was like, is it David?
No, it's not. I know it because they said it 1,000 times. Dathan.
Dathan? That's what it was.
Nathan with a D.
I wanted it to be David and Nathan together, and Dathan. That's what it was.
It's
throwing
Dathan
me off.
And Miramar. Dathan and Miramar.
Is it Miramar?
Miramir. Dathan and Miramir.
Weird. Well, I love how Ray's mom is like the engineer. Like she's like, she's self-taught. She could fix anything. I was like, oh, that's cute. That's where Ray gets it from.
Exactly. Yeah.
And she gets all the baggage from her dad. Nice. Love it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
man, that's real. That's some real world shit, dude.
the kid grew up on Exegol, so in the beginning of the book, I think we can establish that he hasn't exactly had a cakewalk of a life.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you saw Adam Christopher, who's the author of the book, responded to our post about it, one of our clips on Twitter, saying, glad you enjoyed the book. So one of us will probably hit him up later and be like, you want to come talk to us about the book when Tim's done with it? And see if we can maybe get him on. But that was cool to see him. You think he's like just going on Twitter and like typing Shadow of the Sith and then seeing what posts come up?
Probably.
See what people think about his book.
Yeah. You ever just
put
out content?
You want to handle that?
Oh, please. You were a content creator at one point. Did you ever just put out a piece of content and hope to God people like it?
I mean, yeah, but I stopped creating content for.
Okay, but you mean like you know how it feels. I'm sure he's the exact same way.
I wonder what all these shitlords are saying about my stuff.
Fair. I mean, in all honesty, there's not really anything bad you can say about that book.
I love the way it even just opens up. It just sets the tone for everything that's going on. Lando's kid's missing. I'm like, oh, he has a daughter. This is cool. Well, he has probably more than just one daughter.
I was gonna say Lando has many children.
Lando
he
was
know about
fucking
the
in the galaxy.
Wait till you get to the part where they talk about his cape closet. That is not a plot point or anything, but he literally
panel buddy.
They reference it as Lando's cape closet, and I'm like, yes, he would have a closet. Like it's like your wife's shoe rack, but mm-hmm. Lando's cape closet.
Sure.
Because Lando, it's
Han, you need a cape. I'm on my cape closet.
Please bring them back to do more young adventures of Han and Lando.
I just
Please,
need some though. Childish Gambino in there, dude.
Oh man, his Bonfire is the opening to my workout playlist. By the way,
oh, that's a good song.
Like, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, this is Lando Calrissian, motherfucker. Yeah, I'm into this. Star Wars Revelations points to time shenanigans in the Force, Tim! I've been saying this forever!
You haven't been saying anything for forever.
I have not been talking about time traveling through the veil of the Force and all that fun stuff and the multiverse of Star Wars.
No, you were just throwing pasta at the wall and hoping it was going to stick.
Well, it stuck.
Oh, you call
Star
it. Yeah,
Wars
you
Revelations, a special one-shot coming in November and revealed here exclusively promises to point to the future of Marvel's Star Wars line, currently set after Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back, so we're between 5 and 6 in this one.
Yep.
The tale finds Darth Vader seeking out the Eye of Webbish Bog on Mustafar. So
okay,
I believe... all right,
so hold on. Can we talk about this real quick?
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
We had... So for Webbish, for the Eye of Webbish Bog... We had renders. We had conceptual artwork of what this was going to look like. It's at the end of, is it in episode 9? Or no. It was when they were doing
it. It was supposed to be the beginning of episode 9.
It was supposed to be the beginning of episode 9. And this all came from another script that was written. It was another script for episode 9.
It was the script we read the comic for that was made like last year.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah. So that's how it starts. And Kylo is supposed to go find Sky and Mustafar. So now, and we know that Vader had already talked to this guy. So now we actually get to see what should have been in episode 9, which I'm so excited for. But we're going to get to see the Mustafar that's all messed up. That like the Mustafar that we know, not the Mustafar that Kylo Ren saw in episode 9. So, but honestly, in the time period on Mustafar, right there is the same time that Vader Immortal is happening. So we could see a really cool crossover with that VR game and this show, because this is where in Vader Immortal is it volume 1 or volume 2? You get to a point where you're on the castle, you're on the top of the castle. And Vader has this, like, he's talking to this hooded figure, and you have no idea who he is. And he's just a dark Sith user. And this guy is, like, leading Vader to resurrecting Padme. And so, essentially, like, the people who live underground and in hiding in Mustafar help you stop Vader from doing that and restore Mustafar. So, long story short, that's how that works. So I'm curious to see if any of that kind of crosses over into Revelations.
So the Eye of Webbish Bog was from Colin Trevorrow's original script. And I believe they canonized it by putting it in one of the comics, recently, so I think we're returning to it. If I'm remembering correctly, I'm on. Yeah, because it says encounter with Vader on Wikipedia.
And if you guys don't remember what this is the weird spider-looking creature that's sitting on top of a head. Mm-hmm. So kind of, and he's in the swamp. So kind of like just to kind of jog your memory a little bit, if you can think back to the renders that were like the creative drawing that we saw of this, it's Kylo Ren walking up to this bog, and there's like the spider thing that's sitting on top of this like just weird looking massive gigantic head, a humanoid head. So I would love to know more about that too. Like, is that like a dead Force user that he is like leeching, you know, the like energy from, and he's kind of just like a succubus? I'm excited to learn more.
The Eye of Webbish Bog was a spider-like being that existed on the planet Mustafar. It was locked in symbiosis with a blind giant living within a lake near the Corvix Fen.
Oh, the giant's alive?
Apparently. It encountered the Sith Lord Darth Vader during the Galactic Civil War when Vader was punished by Emperor Palpatine for his past failures. So he's canon.
Ooh, so that part's really cool. When Vader starts to go on his little vengeance journey, the Emperor gets really pissed off. He's like, "What you been doing?" And Vader's like, "Well, you know, I've been kind of off doing my own thing." He's like, "Well, I sense a lot of doubt in you." And he said something along those lines. Essentially, just he force lightnings him, and then chops all of his limbs off. Sends him to, and then he takes him to Mustafar, and he's like, "I'm gonna leave you the way I found you," and sets his ass on fire again. Like, just literally, he's like, "We have to start from the beginning," is what he says. He's like, "We have to start from the beginning now and start your training all over again." So he's like, I'm gonna leave you the way that I found you, burning on Mustafar." So he chops his limbs off, takes all his armor off, and leaves his ass there, and then tortures the shit out of him until he gets his shit together. Like, how messed up is that? Wild, right? Yo, no, it definitely. I mean, like, oh no, it didn't work. It just made him more spiteful and angry.
That is pretty messed up. I think I read that somewhere. I don't think I read when he does it. He does it in the comics.
Yeah, it's in the comics. But so I'm looking at the Darth Vader comic where he's actually sitting in front of the Webbish Bog. So now I want to go through it. I want to go read this. I love the Vader comics. Whenever like actually like make time for myself and sit down.
Star Wars
really
comics
fun.
Are really good. It's just making time to sit down.
That's
and,
the whole thing. Is like they're just they're them. Good. They're good reads. They're just really really fun. They have a good flow to them. The artwork alone, just like putting it up on the iPad, like pulling up the Marvel comic book app on the iPad, is probably visually one of the best comic book experiences I've had. Like I remember having comic books and being upset that my finger would smudge the ink on comic books. And I got really upset about that because I was like, oh, I love this comic book and I don't want to ruin it. And I know like that shows you like, oh, wow, you really liked your comic book. Look, you kind of like smudged it with your thumbs and stuff. But like for me, like now I don't have to worry about that. Now I can like zoom in and I can look at all of the really beautiful detail that the artists have put into this work.
That's why I stopped buying comic books like at the store, because they put it on that crappy paper where it would smudge. And
yeah,
I started buying graphic
off.
Novels at Barnes & Noble because it mm-hmm. was on that nicer glossed paper.
Yeah.
And that's what the iPad reminds me of, is those graphic novels. And you can read single issues on the Marvel app, DC, IDW, Dark Horse, whatever you're into.
I gotta start reading the Sandman. Just thinking of comic books, I gotta get the graphic novels for Sandman. I am loving that show.
That's DC, right?
It is DC, and it's really good.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but amazing things about it. Back to the Eye of Webbish Bog. We all know that the Force can be used to glimpse the present, the past, and possible futures. We've known this from a myriad of things around the Star Wars universe. Guggenheim tells StarWars.com, "Well, the Eye is going to show Vader all of the above, including moments that will be coming into play in 2023 all across the Star Wars universe."
Oh, they're just using this as a fan service to tease all their future stuff.
I mean, he might see stuff from the High Republic. He might
you know
see
what's
stuff
so
from,
cool about
from
this
Revan.
Is
he
that
might
this,
see...
this plays into exactly where we thought Hayden Christensen would end up. Is getting to do these one-off shows as Vader and getting to continue to keep that character alive. I love this because they're not making a Vader show. They're just making a show and Vader's in the middle of it. And I think that's so neat. Because I would assume we'll get flashbacks. Like, for us to get the idea of getting an Anakin and Padme flashback could totally happen. I mean, like, we had it with Obi-Wan and Anakin. Like, why wouldn't we get a flashback to them? Like, that could be really, really cool. Or like Ahsoka and Anakin live action together. We've never seen that before, Kevin. It could happen. That would be so cool. Rosario Dawson, Hayden Christensen just hanging out together.
Yes. She's a friend of the family.
The
other quote from Guggenheim was, it's a real Star Wars story with Vader at the center. So they're pushing this, that this is important to the universe.
Yep.
and so I'm excited.
What other news cool. This one's really strange. Disney is re-releasing Rogue One in theaters on Friday, August the 26th, with an exclusive look at Andor.
Not enough for me to go to the movies.
If it was like, if it was a director's cut, or if there was an hour of like deleted scenes and they like worked it all back into the movie and it's essentially like a new look at Rogue One with then, you know, or even adding in just like normal Rogue One and then it takes you right into whatever, however that would work. There's not enough about going back and watching Rogue One and then getting to see an exclusive look at Andor a few weeks before the show actually comes out. Like, I'd rather just go sit on the couch and watch Rogue One. And go to the movie theater.
I will say, though, that seeing Rogue One in the theater was...
Oh, it was an amazing experience. I agree, but I already had that experience. Like, I've already seen it. So I guess for those that haven't seen Rogue One in the theater and you are comfortable enough to go sit down in a movie theater, I would say go do it.
What are you doing? I'm blind. That's one of my favorite lines in the whole movie.
His character was awesome. I would love to see him come back and do more.
Well, he was so much fun. Hinting at the order that he's a part of, that essentially, you know, serves the Jedi, like, if you will.
They're like the protectors, but they're not like, they're force sensitive, but they're not Jedi.
Right. He was also, the speculation there was he was going to be the canonized on screen introduction of the Mirra Luka, which is the Mirra Luka race, or essentially a race from Knights of the Old Republic that can see through the Force. They're blind physically, but they see through the Force.
Like Daredevil.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case. He was just a blind guy, which makes that line.
He was a blind guy that could see because of the Force. He just wasn't that race.
He was one with the Force, and the Force was one with him. That scene is...
Just fucking swinging his bow staff around. Yeah, dude, and it was awesome.
Basmel was screaming behind him. Oh my god! And then he does it too. Oh god, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Such good
shit! Now I'm gonna have to watch Rogue One this weekend.
God damn it! Got to go back and watch one of the best Star Wars. I'm so sorry.
Son of a bitch!
All right, let's get into it, buddy.
All right, this is the meat. I said we'd put it in the middle, but it's at the end. So let's just get into it, dude.
So Reddit, DMCA's, you name it, came out. Disney went after it, which always makes me believe it's true when that happens.
Oh, yeah, dude, for sure. Remember when we saw that one the Acolyte leaked trailer and it stayed up for weeks? I'm like, that's not fucking... Like, it looked cool. It looked really neat. It was fantastic. But there was nothing about that.
Or the Knights of Ren one.
It was like the Knights of Ren trailer, and it was essentially the Witch Queen, the Witch King with the red lightsaber. I was like, that's neat. That looks so cool, but it never came down. Like, that's not real. But if something gets DMCA'd like in the first like 2 hours, then
So the rumor is that Darth Plagueis is going to be in Acolyte. That's the meat and potatoes of it.
It makes sense.
And it makes a ton of sense given the timeline. Because that would mean that this woman who is the star of this show was his first apprentice before we meet Palpatine. There could have been one in the middle too, for all we know. Who knows? Codenamed Paul, ironically. I thought that was funny. That's Darth Plagueis' code name for the script and the show and everything. Mentioned specific Sith leaders who are running or involved with the Acolyte program. Current casting call is a humanoid or humanoid person of color in their 60s. Lines up perfectly with what we know about Darth Plagueis. Mm-hmm. Leaker previously leaked Tales of the Jedi footage and Acolyte details with another Reddit user that were taken down on TikTok via DMCA by Disney. It all lines up for me in my head.
This is going to be how we get tied into the episode 3, Lenev. I've ever told you the tale of Darth Plagueis the Wise. Like that's going to be that line could be the opening to the show. It could be the Emperor's voice, right? Could you imagine that?
Dude, if they bring like live action Darth Plagueis, you that's all I needed. You didn't need to say anything else beyond that. You just needed to say that.
So he's a really cool Sith Lord. He's not physically impressive. He's not supposed to be, right, because he's a he's from the banking clan. What's that race called? I forgot.
Moons.
Yeah, that sounds right. Moons. And so they're not physically, you know, impressive. They're not muscular. They're very slender. They're lanky, but they're very, very smart. And so that's the really cool thing about Plagueis is that he always uses his science background, mathematics.
Yeah, he was into like alchemy and engineering.
He was into science, into biology, all forms of science, chemistry, alchemy, biology. He took creatures apart to learn their physiology, to learn how everything ticked, how the Force interacted. He had so in the Darth Plagueis book, he does a lot of study on midichlorians. As much as I hate saying that word, we know that the M count is not going to go away. And so this is another way to kind of build that story and to make midichlorians make sense is because of Darth Plagueis. He does a lot of study on these symbiotic organisms that live in everything.
So, and that was the hook with Anakin, was that he was claiming that his master had taught him basically the key to immortality. By the way, I never put two and two together until a few months ago with that line. That also harkens back to the old teachings from the Old Republic of the Infinite Emperor.
Plagueis wasn't studying moving your body, like your spirit from one body to the next.
Well, connect the dots. Bioengineering.
I agree with you. But like for Plagueis, he was trying to figure out how to extend life via the Force, like within that body. He was trying to figure out how to just like stop aging, essentially.
So, but if you look at Palpatine knew that his body was failing. So he tried to recreate new bodies. And that's the bioengineering part that I get stuck on, because it's almost a blend of the two. It's the spiritual Sith, dark side of the Force inhabiting a shell. Also the bioengineering of creating said shell that can handle and inhabit your Force entity and your right. soul, essentially, we'll say.
Well, and it's also a really cool, like, I guess, stepwise, like going forward. So like you go from the forever Emperor of the Sith can move from body to body, right? And so he just mm-hmm. like essentially is like a demon and can possess other mm-hmm. other bodies.
That's
right?
Exactly what he does. Yep.
And so now, like, think of it from Sidious. He's just like, my body's perfect. Everything about me is amazing. I don't want anything else. Just clone me and I'm good. That's it. Like, that's peak, like, evildoer right there is like, I don't want anything else but this.
Did you get to the part in the book where they talk about Dathan's cloning process?
I literally, where I'm at right now is they just finished talking to the,
to answer what you just said, you're going to get insight into Dathan's cloning.
Beautiful.
I'm going to leave it at that. And once you hit it, we can talk about it. But
yeah,
that will add to what we're talking about right now.
Cool. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
I'll just give little updates every time.
That's fine. No, that book is so good. I would love to hear you do that. But back to this, Plagueis having another apprentice would mean to me also that the Acolyte would die at the end of the show. No,
sure, because we're about like 200-ish years before episode one.
I think it's 100.
100? So yeah. I mean, like, that would make sense. Sidious is like in his 60s, right-ish?
So, yeah, he's probably not born yet.
Yeah, so it's right before that. And I think it'll take us from that line of, have I told you the tale of Darth Plagueis, or have you ever heard the tale of Darth Plagueis the Wise? And I think that'll be a beautiful tie-in, because like that is another thing. Again, think about what Filoni has been doing. He's been cleaning up a lot of the open loopholes for Lucas. He's kind of just like cleaning up the mess, and like that was a big thing that kind of was just left open. It was just like this quick little mention of a dark lord who was able to defeat death.
So connecting all of the dots based on the rumors, the descriptions of the show, everything we've seen, it's about 100 years, a little over 100 years before Phantom Menace. The premise from Disney's own description says it's about a young Sith woman that is, or they don't say Sith, actually. She's dark side.
She's a dark user, yeah. Dark force user.
And she's basically hunting relics and stuff from around the galaxy. So the premise is, and this, I'm reading this from someone else on Reddit, and this actually makes the most sense about it out of anything I've seen. They think that one of two things, either she encounters Plagueis on her journey and Plagueis takes her as his apprentice, or that she is hunting the relics for Plagueis as his apprentice so they can learn more. But the kicker is this is going to kick the door wide open to start meeting all of the other Sith and the other media. Yep. Because the relics are going to be from who? Darth Revan, Darth Bane, Darth Ndetu, all of these ancient Sith that we know, Darth Malak, Darth Nihilus. And we're going to start learning more about them within the Disney canon.
Yeah.
And it's going to open up the door for books and comics and all of the ancillary material, possibly games. I doubt live action, maybe animation. Revan would be the only one in that thing that I could see getting live action, mainly because he's got a redemption story and ends up being a good guy. Well, in Legends canon, I don't know how they're going to play it with this. So that's the best description I've heard, is that this show is purposefully being made to introduce us to the greater Sith. And when you finish Shadow of the Sith, you're going to see that the push has already started there. I wouldn't be surprised if the person I described to you last week is also referenced in this show, as well.
Ah, interesting.
So I think your wildest dreams and fantasies are coming true, Tim, where they're really starting to tap into the dark side and introduce us to the Sith mysticism and the things like that. But like you said, too, we're also going to learn about Sith science and Sith bioengineering and all of the stuff.
All that dark side stuff that no one really wants to talk about.
So to me, this is going to be like your pied de la resistance of Sith.
Well, I mean, I knew that from the get-go, dude. I knew this was going to be my edgy, dark show that I needed.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Yeah, but, man, I need my Hot Topic Sith action, so.
I think she's going to get killed by a High Republic Jedi at the end of the show. I think that's how it'll end.
I guess the High Republic, yeah, that order is still... that's going to be another interesting point.
She might get killed by Yoda.
Oh, that'd be sick. That'd be really cool. I mean, like, but again, like that's definitely something that we haven't seen, like we haven't really figured out yet, because High Republic's going backwards.
Yep.
And we don't, like, so we're not going to see a tie-in from High Republic into the rise of the Empire, whatever, however that the new nomenclature
two different eras.
Yeah, so we're not going to get that tie-in piece for like how the High Republic kind of, or the Jedi Order and the High Republic kind of moves into what we know the most about. And so that for me, honestly, if we want to just like touch on High Republic real quick, that's kind of frustrating, is that they're going this way towards the Old Republic, but we know that the Old Republic's on standstill right now because of the game getting put on the back burner. So like that part of Star Wars feels really awkward, but knowing that we'll have something that's a little bit closer to kind of like pull us into episode one again, like I love the ability to like start from episode one and then watch all this stuff and it just beautifully just ties in together, but we don't have that one thing that takes you into episode one. We don't have that piece, so like this could be the closest thing that we have to where you go, okay, I want to watch Star Wars, like cool, let's start with
chronologically
Acolyte.
Too
right,
like
let's
you
start
said
with,
when you
let's start with Acolyte. And then we can watch episode one.
When you go back, you're the one who told me, when you go back and watch Marvel and cinematic after you've seen them all, or not cinematic, in chronological.
You in chronological
like,
order is just beautiful.
Yeah. I also the part of the rumor too is that Yaddle will be a big part of this Acolyte series as well.
Is that fan service?
Oh, for Tales of the Jedi, she's getting her own story. Sorry about that. I mixed the two things up with the notes. So yeah,
Tales of the Jedi, that makes a lot more sense because the entire show the entire premise for that show is to give backstories to these characters that we either know and love or don't know anything about, i.e. Yaddle.
That show is just lore dumps.
That's all it is. Yeah. I mean, we're gonna get a great look at Ahsoka and her Togruta clan because we know that her clan is different from other Togrutas. So they operate differently. Yaddle and Yoda and Grogu are some of the largest mysteries when it comes to characters in our Star Wars universe. And so to potentially see the homeworld or to have a really good story of where like Yaddle and Yoda and Grogu originate from, that's exciting. That's really, really exciting. And I wouldn't say that's fan service. I would just say that is something that people have been asking for a really, really long time. And I don't think they knew how to deliver that properly until now when they had this entire idea for giving, doing an animated lore dump, if you will.
Yeah, I agree. I also am excited for Ahsoka's backstory after learning more about the Togruta in, I forget which High Republic book it was. Remember their queen, the Huntress?
Yeah, that was Falling Star.
Yeah, the Republic Fair one. Yep.
They're badass. Dude. Yeah. Oh yeah, she's really cool.
I was like, imagine your leader, she's queen. Nah, she's the Huntress.
Yeah. This it's very Amazonian, right?
Okay, dude. Got Wonder Woman of Star Wars over here.
Yeah.
I think Mandalorian season 3 is gonna knock our socks off when it comes to learning more about the Mandalorians. I think we're finally going to get that piece of the puzzle because everyone, all the actors and actresses that are in it saying we're going to focus on Mandalore this time. Your big thing after that is going to be Acolyte. And I think it's going to be that introduction to the Sith that, the casual Star Wars fan doesn't really know much about. They don't know about Darth Bane. They don't know about Revan. They don't know about any of these. They know Vader. They know Palpatine. And that's about it. Maybe Plagueis' name if they paid close attention in episode 3. I think
Darth Maul and Dooku, I guess.
Darth Maul's not a Sith by the end.
Oh, come on, Kevin.
Count Dooku's awesome because I love Christopher Lee. Bro, he's in Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. And did you know when he was filming Lord of the Rings? Did you know when he was filming Lord of the Rings? He was correcting the script writers on things. You know why?
Because
my dude
Tolkien
had personally
fan.
Spoken to Tolkien and had asked him a million questions about it. So he was like one of the last living people that could speak directly from conversations he had with the damn author. Process that for a moment.
That's
ridiculous.
So crazy.
That is also neat. You know who else does that? Henry Cavill on the set of The Witcher.
That doesn't surprise me. He is the king of the nerds. My king.
All the other actors say he's so annoying on set because he walks over to the screenwriters. He's like, I think we should change this from this because in page 253 of this Witcher book, he says this. And this doesn't really align with something Geralt would say. They'd be like, all right, bud, then change it. Like, go for it.
I love him so much, dude. Between him building PCs, painting models for Warhammer, for
missing
Witcher
the call,
stuff.
Missing
yeah,
the call to be...
WoW?
He missed the call to be Superman because he was raiding in WoW.
Well, he didn't miss it. He got a voicemail.
That's kind of a call you might want to take.
Yeah, it's crazy. I love hearing that story. It's so cool.
But he had, he had the sweet loot drop, so he was very busy at that moment. Yeah. King of the Nerds forever and ever. I saw a picture of him yesterday, and it was just him fishing on a boat, and it was a woman in a fish costume, and just said, "Sup, bro." That's it for this week. Thank you so much for hanging out with us for Star Wars of Scotch episode 95. The push to 100 and Andor is coming. So exciting that all lined up. Thank you, Disney. And that is not a phrase I say quite often these days.
Disney right now. We need to have a Disney podcast where we're just like two dads and we call it Dads and Disney or something. We just bitch about Disney.
Bitch about Disney. Oh,
the
man.
Parks and shit for an hour.
That'd be the most popular podcast.
I agree with these old guys.
Tim and I went to Disney again this weekend, and boy, are we mad. You can check out Timmy's Darkest 429 everywhere on the internet. Make sure you go over to his Facebook page Monday through Friday and even Saturday and Sunday sometimes. And around 9 a.m. ish Eastern, fb.gg/darkest429 and darkest429 everywhere else. Everything I do is on raredrop.co. If you want to chat with me directly, hit me up on Instagram, kmagic101, or on Twitter, KevinXVision. Make sure you head over to kingscoastcoffee.com. And don't forget, 6 episodes of Rare Drop Roleplay Adventures in Middle Earth coming the first week of September. We are so excited to introduce you to do you call it a one shot when it's 6 episodes?
No, that's not
yes. Paul says yes. Yeah. So, okay. So it's a one shot, for an adventure in Middle Earth. And maybe
filming 6 episodes in one go.
No.
Oh, I thought a one shot is when you just like continuously just keep shooting.
I think cause it has a beginning and an end. It's considered a one shot. It's not an open ended.
I was like,
campaign.
Man, that is going to be the longest D&D campaign ever.
No, just 18 hours of PST.
I really need to eat. Oh, I'm so tired. Get back, dwarf!
You know?
You all have a great week. We'll see you next week for episode 96 of Star Wars and Scotch. And as always, Timmy,
may the force be with you!